How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dragon King Dark. I'm your host, Carl Stern. This is episode 19 of Dragon King Dark. Thanks a lot for checking out AfterDarkRadioShow.com. I hope you follow also the After Dark Radio Show with Brian Alvarez. Hope you have enjoyed the 18 previous episodes we've had, and today's is going to be kind of an interesting potpourri of things. As the show continues, and we're now almost to our 20th episode, of course, we've developed a few followers, and people are beginning to correspond fairly regularly with the show, and so from time to time, we will spend the bulk of the shows addressing emails, and some of the topics raised in these mailbag shows will, down the line, generate their own shows. We'll do topics specifically on those. I've had several very good suggestions here lately, not only through the email, and the email address for the show is carl@dragonkingcarl.com. That is Carl with the letter K. K-A-R-L at dragonkingcarl.com. And, of course, that suggests I have my own website, and I do. It is dragonkingcarl.com. All my social media contacts are on there. I've also had some suggestions by way of Twitter, and if you have your mobile device handy or at the computer, whatever you're doing, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I would greatly appreciate it. I am at Dragon King Carl. Dragon King Carl is pretty much the handle, the tag I use across most of the stuff wherever I can get that. And just visit DragonKingCarl.com. You'll see all of our social media contacts, Twitter, email, Instagram, the whole nine yards. On Instagram, it's a little different. I'm Carl Stern, the number one. I had a earlier Dragon King Carl Instagram account back quite some time ago that was deactivated, and I can't seem to get it reactivated, one of those password situations, I think. So just started with Carl Stern 1, and my wife and I are actually also working on a new website project for later in the year, and I hope you'll stick around and pay attention to that. Some of it you've already saw the hashtag when it was cool. We have an Instagram account as well for when it was cool. Check all that stuff out. I really appreciate it. Again, this is the 19th show in. And if you haven't gone back and checked out some of our shows, they are in the archives at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. I know a lot of people may have stumbled across this show previously on the Dark Matter Radio Network. And I actually had a couple emails of people who ran across the show that way who weren't part of the WrestlingObserver.com or F4WOnline.com family or After Dark Radio Show, the website. They stumbled across it through other ways. The show is aggregated out through the internet. And I want to thank you, and I hope that has caused you to go directly now to AfterDarkRadioShow.com and maybe check out some of our older issue episodes. We've covered a variety of things. Now, I say this is the 19th episode. In all reality, it's really the 20th because I had a zero episode. A zero episode sort of laid the foundation, the groundwork to what this show was going to be about. And I always encourage people to go back and listen to it. And then we've covered a variety of other shows from the paranormal to science, one of my favorite topics, astronomy, ancient civilizations and so forth, abandoned places, comic book series as they relate to this show and stuff. Today we're going to actually go into the email bag and see what's in there. As I said, we've generated a few, and we'll hit some of those and see where the conversation carries us. Again, some of these will generate their own shows in the future. This is from, first up, from, we'll say, W. Ryan. And thank you, Ryan, for writing in. He says, I'm not exactly sure how I came across your podcast show. I think you might have hosted After Dark or were featured on the show, or perhaps your show was playing. And that's very possible. I was on pretty much all the early, after the original run of After Dark. I hosted a news segment there. Scheduling issues caused me to have to leave that show. Although, you know, Brian and I, Brian Alvarez and I actually had both independently been wanting to do that type of show for a while. And we were just unsure of how to launch such a program and whatever. And then Brian has, you know, with the F4W Online website and that network over there, he was best suited with the all the equipment and all the infrastructure and all that already built up to go ahead and do it. And so he invited me to participate, and I really appreciate him thinking about me and bringing me into that. And ultimately, of course, it spawned this show. And AfterDarkRadioShow.com, you know, I feel like it's not in its final incarnation yet, that it's kind of a ongoing, evolving project. Sometimes Brian has more, I guess, ideas about what to do with it, and it goes through changes and so forth. And then the current iteration of After Dark Radio Show features my show and his, and so I hope you check it out. There's lots of great stuff in the archives there if you're interested in that type of stuff. Ryan goes on to say, I tend to just play Dark Matter Radio Network while I'm at work and pay attention to it when I'm not talking to someone at work. He works in the Dallas, Texas area. He said, anywho, I was just listening to the old-timey obituary episode and found it quite entertaining. A few others were not bad by any means, but this one stuck out to me. Keep up the good work, and I will frequent your podcast in the future. And I thank you very much for that, Ryan. That was one of my favorite episodes to put together for sure. And he's actually referring, if you want to go back and listen to it, to episode 15. And I had a lot of fun putting that episode together. And we will certainly be revisiting that in the future. I've actually been saving up some more for a full-fledged episode. In fact, there was a I got this on Twitter here recently. In fact, I think I got it actually today or yesterday. I'd previously saw it in the news, but it was sent directly to me on Twitter, of a sort of an addendum, a modern-day version of this. And it says, this came actually from my good friend, No Friends, No Hope. Look, if you're not following No Friends, No Hope on Twitter, it's absolutely hilarious. He is one of the quick-wittedest, most, it's just hilarious stuff. His handle on Twitter, I keep using the term handle, and I feel like that's some sort of antiquated 1970s CB radio term or something. Username, whatever. I don't even know what you the appropriate, anyway. You can follow him on Twitter. I'm sure he doesn't mind. If he does, I guess he can block you. At No Friender. So, doesn't sound very like a very friendly fellow, but he's actually quite hilarious. He sent me this photograph of a current obituary from Mary Ann Alfred Nolan. Mary Ann Alfred Nolan. And I'm not sure where she lived, but it has a photograph of her. Looks like a lady of around 70 years old, who has passed away. And her obituary reads, the beginning part at least reads, faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, Mary Ann Nolan of Richmond chose instead to pass into the eternal love of God on Sunday, May 15th, 2016. I applaud whoever come up with that. Tremendous. Again, if you haven't heard that episode, You really should go back. It's quite a winner. All that National Police Gazette stuff was really something else. All right. This email is from Kirk. And thank you for listening to the show, Kirk. Kirk says, just listen to your show on cryptids and cryptozoology. And he is referencing show number 17, Dragon King Dark number 17. What is your opinion on, and of course, he picked out the longest, most consonant laden word. There's no possible way I can pronounce this, but I'm going to give it a shot. What is your opinion on Jaguar Unda? Jaguar Unda, which he says are medium sized cat from Central America. He says they've been sighted in Alabama, which is just where I live in southeastern United States, for those of you who are listening internationally. Jaguar Unda, medium-sized cats from Central America, sightings in Alabama. I have never heard of that. Again, I am a strong believer to the fact, to the point of factuality, in that it's not open for debate. It's just open for you to discover that I already know the truth, that large cats, be they panthers, mountain lions, whatever, do exist in this part of the country in multiples, and from time to time they are seen. So, you know, to me, this is not this. I honest to goodness don't even put this in the same category as cryptozoology or paranormal. I put this in the category of reality, just like there's air to breathe. There are big cats around. Now, perhaps there aren't black jungle panthers or whatever, you know, that they claim absolutely do not exist around here. But there is very definitely large cats that roam the forests of the southeastern United States. It's just a fact. Kurt goes on to say, here in Manitoba, that being in Canada, there used to be rumors of large cats, which have been confirmed in the last few years. Of course they have been, with a couple of cougars caught in coyote traps, as well as some roadkill of cougars. Do you think, and this is a very good idea here, do you think that global warming may be a reason some of these large cats or whatever are showing up in areas they didn't habit previously? In northern Manitoba on Hudson Bay, local natives have spoken of seeing orcas in the waters surrounding Churchill. The native and Inuit people in the area have no history of seeing orcas before, as whales that frequent the area are belugas and narwhals, as well as some harp seals and polar bears. Something to think about. Enjoy your show. I listen every week. Well, thank you very much, Kurt. I hope you will continue to listen. And I thank you very much for the email to this show. I really do appreciate that. I do think that has something to do with it. And here's my thought process. Again, geographically, I'm located in the southeastern United States, kind of right in the middle of the southeastern United States. I am about 6 hours north of the Gulf of Mexico, about 6 hours southwest of the Smoky Mountain National Park, the Appalachian Mountains. I'm in the Appalachian foothills, is geographically what they call here, which is a hilly but not mountainous area as it transitions toward the Mississippi flood delta, and it becomes, as you go further west from here, the land gets less hilly and more plains as you get closer to the Mississippi River, which is about 3 hours west of me. So that's geographically where I sit. Now, when I was a kid in, let's see, I would have been in like eighth or ninth grade. So I would have been 13, 14 years old, something like that. I was taking a class in school. There were certain required. They required us to, here in U.S. schools at that time, they required you to have credits. You had to have certain classes and gain a credit in that class in order to graduate. And it was done to diversify your education. For example, everyone, whether male or female, whether interested or not interested, had to have like one credit in like agriculture, one credit in cosmetology, which is like hairdressing and beauty and stuff. You had to have a credit in like some sort of elective like auto mechanics or electronics or something like that. You had, and it was done to diversify everyone's education. So you were required to take these classes, and so I was in agriculture for at least one semester. And you had a project you had to do in that class. It was like woodworking and stuff like that. And one of the choices you had was to build an armadillo trap. And at that time, it was hilarious. That was a joke. There were no armadillos here in North Alabama. That was, you know, that was something they had out in Texas, Louisiana, way, you know, hundreds of miles to the west and south. There nobody had ever even saw an armadillo that was in my age group. And so it was a joke. They were like, yeah, let's everybody build an armadillo trap, because that's, you know, it was a joke for being, because that's a completely useless thing to do. Well, now fast forward to 2016, and armadillos are everywhere. My gosh, you can't, I mean, you see, I have a hard time keeping armadillos out of my yard. They root up the grass, digging for things to eat. You go outside, and you just got holes all in your lawn. They eat your garden. They're roadkill everywhere. I mean, armadillos are actually have infested the area here. And so that is an animal that in my lifetime I've seen go from did not exist here to everywhere. The red fox is another. Red foxes were native to this area, but they were very sparse. They were much more to the north and west of here, further up the Appalachian chain, further north of here. Now, fox are very common here. I see probably once a week I'll see a fox somewhere, you know, on the side of the road, crossing the road, something like that. They're all over the place now. I remember a friend of mine a number of years ago, I was riding with him, and he said, you know, I kind of believe this global warming stuff. And this was, gosh, this was 15, 20 years ago this guy told me this. I said, why is that? He said, because I used to never see Spanish moss in trees north of Dothan, Alabama, which is down on the Florida-Alabama, down about an hour north of the Gulf of Mexico. He said, and now I see it as far north as Birmingham, which is, you know, 3 or 4 hours north of the Gulf, something like that. And he's right. Now, Spanish moss hasn't gotten up this far yet. Again, I'm 6 hours north of the Gulf. But, yeah, I can drive a little way south and occasionally see Spanish moss in the trees and stuff. And, you know, he's right. So, clearly, I can see with my own eyes changes in the climate. Now, do I buy fully into anthropomorphic global warming? That's a topic for another show. I am somewhat skeptical of man-made global warming to the degree that they try to get us to buy. But now, I'm not a climate change denier by any means. The climate is changing, absolutely. I just argue with the semantics of how much of it is man-made versus natural cycle of the earth. And I am not a scientist. That is just a opinion, one that I'm sure many scientists would tell me is an ignorant opinion, but I am somewhat a little bit skeptical of the causes of it. But clearly I do see changes even in the last 20 years in the environment, in habitat. And so I think you're exactly right, Kirk. I've saw it with my own eyes. And if I'm now seeing armadillos where there were no armadillos 25, 30 years ago, and alligators, alligators, I mean, it was absolute hot. You might as well have been saying 25, 30 years ago, where I live, you might as well have been saying I saw a black panther as to say I saw an alligator. Well, now, I mean, there's news stories all the time of people capturing alligators in North Alabama, North Georgia. There's just not a couple weeks ago over in the Gadsden-Anniston area, which is near between here and Atlanta, Georgia, they were getting an alligator out of a pond over there. So clearly animals are migrating further northward. So I think your hypothesis is has some credibility to it. I think that's a very good observation. Here is a fascinating email that I got from Juan, and Juan is regularly contributes to my shows and stuff, and so I want to say a special thank you and appreciation to Juan. Hope you all contribute. Send me an email, carl@dragonkingcarl.com. And this is fascinating. I had no idea about this that he writes in about. He says, "Today I bring you a story that may interest you and fellow listeners of Dragon King Dark. It is a story of a underground Hollywood lore, devil worshippers, curses, and the worst piece of film you'll ever see, The Virgin Sacrifice. For the record, this is going to be the urban legend version of the story because no facts are known about the production of this movie. The only thing that seems for certain is that the movie did exist in some form at some point." Well, you've already got me intrigued. You've already hooked me in. One continues, J.X. Williams is a pseudonym that has been used by countless people working in pornography, mostly books, during the 1950s, 1960s. The most famous of which was film director Ed Wood for his novel Parisian Passions. Of course, Ed Wood is a very famous B movies, giving it too much credit, low budget movie director. He even had a movie made about him. The second most famous person to use this pseudonym, that was a guy that made a series of micro-budget psychedelic films in the 1960s through 1970s, one of which is The Virgin Sacrifice. This guy, who is this guy? No one knows for sure. The working theory is that he is a man by the name of Noel Lawrence. He owns the rights to the films and seems to be the only person with firsthand knowledge of how these films came to be. The thing that he claims is that J.X. Williams is another person. There is also reason to believe that Noel Lawrence went into hiding at some point due to his shady past. That is why he denies working as J.X. Williams. J.X. Williams was working for a branch of the Chicago Mafia in Hollywood in the late 1960s by making pornographic peep show movies for them. At some point around that time, he came into contact with a high-ranking member of the Church of Satan who wanted to produce some recruitment films for his organization. Satanists were a surprisingly big underground scene in L.A. at the time, and rumor has it that Sammy Davis Jr., yes, from the Rat Pack, was this high-ranking member. If you do a Google search on Sammy Davis Jr. and Satan, you'll find a conspiracy theory that the guy was into that kind of stuff. J.X. Williams agreed to make the film for the Satanist sometime around 1969, and that's how the Virgin Sacrifices came to be. Yeah, you know, that whole Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan was a big cultural figure back during that time period, and you know, the whole, gosh, you know, that's a whole episode we need to do on, you know, the Eagles' Hotel California album that was supposedly tied, at least in urban legend and folklore, to Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan and the esoteric lyrics of that song and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it was very much a very big deal Between now and whenever I do that show, you should Google that up, and there's all kinds of conspiracies surrounding that. Of course, Eagles member Glenn Frey passed away not that long ago, although that's a Don Henley song. Still, it's very much, you know, has us rooted into that whole satanic church culture of the late 60s and 70s out there in California. Supposedly Hotel California is a pseudonym for the Church of Satan and all that. Who knows how much of that's real or whatever. Juan goes on to say, the film is considered by some to be the most cursed film ever made. Three people died of overdoses during the filming. The final cut of the movie was 3 hours long and was only seen in a handful of festivals before the original negatives burned. And the film was lost after that. That's why only 9 minutes survive, most of which is made up of stock footage from other movies of the time. If you want to see it, here it is, a seizure warning. Past the 2 minute 50 second mark, you get a lot of flashing lights, but trust me, the first 2 minutes are so bad that the movie's actually gold, and it gives me a link to YouTube where you can check that out yourself if you want to. I'm sure just Google the Virgin Sacrifice, and that's what will come up. It says, here are a couple of related articles that I found on J.X. Williams and the Virgin Sacrifice. So let's see what we have here. Here's a interview with Noel Lawrence and the bizarre mystery behind a filmmaker named J.X. Williams. Let's just see what that leads us to. And thank you very much, Juan. A fascinating story about that. Let's see if I can get this to pull up. Here we go. This is from the Droid You're Looking For website. Of course, a Star Wars reference, as I'm sure most of you know. The bizarre mystery behind filmmaker named J.X. Williams. And this is, the article is written by, I don't actually see a accreditation, so I apologize to the droid you're looking for. My most recent selection from the incomparably deep collection offered by Facets was Experiments in Terror. It features a series of six avant-garde, surrealist, obscure horror vignettes, some made as early as 1961. All of them struck a chord with me, and I instantly started Googling the individual short films to learn more. One in particular, The Virgin Sacrifice, made by a guy named J.X. Williams, has an extremely bizarre and fascinating history. Let me first state that everything I'm going to write from here on out, all the information is only alleged. I can't find a shred of proof for any of it. And he actually has a photo of the movie poster for The Virgin Sacrifice, and it is as salacious as you would imagine it would be. The original running time of the film was approximately 3 hours. However, nearly all of the footage was destroyed in a fire. All that was left was 9 minutes. The part that survived the fire shows a mute girl who's apartment hunting. She arrives at a new potential home where she'll have two roommates who just happen to worship the devil. They invite her to one of their meetings, and then the short devolves into an LSD-infused satanic ritual. Here's the full clip, which is worth the view, and then he includes the clip there. It says, today there is a shroud of mystery surrounding every part of the film, especially around the director. Some people claim that the production was the most cursed film production ever, if you believe in such things. One obvious example of horrible luck is the fact that nearly an entire film was destroyed. It was only seen a few times on the festival circuit before it burned. Williams, the director, survived a car bombing, which Cinema Nova alleges was the result of his unpaid mafia debt. Supposedly, people on the set died of drug overdoses. The film was financed by a high-profile member of the Church of Satan, who many believe to have been Sammy Davis Jr., and some say it's the source of the curse. Read that again. Sammy Davis Jr. was an alleged member of the Church of Satan and financed a three-hour film about a virginal sacrifice, then cursed the movie. I can't bring that up as fact. even though there are a lot of rumors about Sammy Davis Jr.'s ties to Satanism, it sounds ridiculous. Can't find a single source that could confirm any of this information. The deaths, the overdoses, Sammy Davis. J.X. Williams probably doesn't even exist. More likely it's a pen name for Noel Lawrence, the curator of the J.X. Williams Archive. Internet Movie Databases page for Williams even lists Noel Lawrence as Williams' birth name. The name itself, J.X. Williams, was used as a pen name for a lot of pulp novels in the 1950s. Williams, the filmmaker, made a lot of mafia-sponsored pornography, including a film actually named, well, I'm not going to read the name of that movie. If you don't believe me, here's the poster, and I'm not going to click on that either. His most controversial film was 1965's Peep Show, which posed itself as found footage, but clearly featured a lot of stock footage and clips of lesser-known films that had already been released. It goes bananas for 1960 conspiracy theories, proposing many potential conspiracies behind the JFK assassination and suggesting a mafia plot to get Frank Sinatra addicted to heroin. Here we are some 40 years after the virgin sacrifice, and it's all still a mystery. One of those classic urban legends buried in Hollywood lore. Is J.X. Williams real? Is he Noel Lawrence? Did the mafia try to do him in? And did he take money from the Church of Satan to make a cursed movie? Did people really die during the filming of The Virgin Sacrifice? Is it all a hoax? Tied to some attention-getting filmmaker from the middle of the 20th century. It's all fascinating. And I wish I knew the answers, as do I. So, again, a plug to TDYLF.com. That stands for the droid you're looking for, TDYLF.com. Not familiar with that website, but we'll certainly add that to my rotation, although this was from a 2012 article. I presume the website's still active and running, although I click on the banner and goes no. Oh, there we go. How about, hey, Carl, click the home button. Yeah, it looks like it's still being up. Well, March. It looks like about a year ago is the last time it was updated, March of 2015. So, but thanks, nevertheless, to TDYLF for that article. Fascinating. 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 All right. I have one more kind of interesting tidbit before we shuffle off for the day, for the week. And this was sent in a very interesting photograph I have of the fan letter. We cover comic books here sometimes on the show and comic book movies and stuff, and this I found this very interesting. This is actually the fan page, or what would have been the letters page, for Amazing Fantasy 15. And for those of you who are comic book aficionados, well, then you immediately recognize that as the first appearance of Spider-Man. That is where Spider-Man, the first time he ever appeared, Amazing Fantasy 15, which was, interestingly enough, the last issue of that publication. Spider-Man proved so ridiculously popular that he got his own title, Amazing Spider-Man. That's where the amazing nickname came from, was from his appearance in Amazing Fantasy. And here is the letters page, which actually has some interesting stuff about the early genesis of the Spider-Man character and about the publication itself. I found some interesting tidbits in here. So the fan page says, important announcement from the editor. You will notice that the format of Amazing Fantasy, they didn't use that word, has been changed. There are a number of reasons for this, and we want to take you, our valued readers, into our confidence. We hate to throw in the towel, but we find it is simply impossible to produce a magazine like Amazing each and every month, containing 5 highly original and carefully plotted stories without the quality eventually beginning to suffer. Rather than risk losing your confidence, we have decided to change Amazing in such a way that it will still present the finest in fantasy, but in a different way. And the quality had dropped. I'd been reading back issues of this, and they were it was just short stories done by Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, I think Steve Ditko, some of the names you famously know from comics legend, and they were getting very repetitive. It was pretty much the theme of repeated over and over of the alien lands on Earth, makes first contact. The people are scared of it. They attack or run off the alien, and it turns out the alien was benevolent, bringing us, you know, cures for disease or advancements in science or something like that. It was always, it was a repetitive scene of mankind is the monster. They seemed to really beat that in the ground, and it was getting actually pretty repetitive. Issue 15 was a completely unique change. All about it. It's the famous origin story of Spider-Man. It's been done in the movies, what, a dozen and one times now, so you all know it. The page goes on to say, as you can see, we are introducing one of the most unusual new fantasy characters of all time, the Spider-Man, who will appear every month in Amazing. And see, so there you see, like, it was going to be a continuation of Amazing, which was Amazing Fantasy. It seemed like they had decided to drop the fantasy name from it, and it will go on to actually explain this a little further. Like, it had went from Amazing Fantasy to Amazing Adult Fantasy to Amazing Fantasy to, seems like they were going to go to just Amazing, but it actually became Amazing Spider-Man is what they ultimately settled on. The letter goes on to say, as you can see, we're or perhaps if your letters request it, we will make his stories even longer or have two Spider-Man stories per issue. Also, we are discontinuing our contents page, as many of you have requested. We feel your point is well taken. You would prefer us to make one of the stories a page longer instead. And that had been a thing they'd gotten to do, just laziness. They'd put a title page, a whole page, devoted just as like a table of contents. It was unnecessary for a 20, 25-page comic. Goes on to say, finally, we are omitting the word adult from our masthead. A number of our teenage readers have written to say that it makes them feel a bit awkward to buy a magazine which seems to be written exclusively for older readers. We never expected such a reaction, but we certainly don't want to embarrass any of our loyal readers. Yeah, I don't think that's why they were embarrassed about the word adult on there. I think probably some moms and dads said, no, you're not buying a comic book called Amazing Adult Fantasy. I imagine many a mom said, uh-uh. And there you have it, our new editorial policy and the reason we have undertaken it. Naturally, we are most anxious to have your opinions and will be waiting eagerly for your letters. Rest assured that although it is impossible for us to answer your letters personally, we carefully read each and every one and are guided by your desires when we edit our magazine. As I am guided by your desires when I produce this show, and I anxiously await your letters as well, although electronically now, instead of pen and paper and with a stamp. You can correspond with Dragon King Dark in any of my shows at carl@dragonkingcarl.com. It's Carl, letter K, K-A-R-L @dragonkingcarl.com. I am Dragon King Carl on Twitter. Let me encourage you, if you're a relatively new listener to the show, to go back to the archives. You may find some interesting stuff. Again, I always recommend you check out episode 0 titled Looking Upward and Inward, which is all about the philosophy behind how I do this show. It's different from Brian's After Dark, and it is purposely different. How many Bigfoot episodes you want to sit through a week? How many UFO episodes? You know, we do different things. He is interested in certain things, and I'm interested in certain things. And by listening to the two shows in unison from AfterDarkRadioShow.com, you'll get a variety of topics. In my first episode, I talk all about the exploration of fear. And it's one of my favorite titles. What makes us afraid? Why do these shows even exist? What are you so scared of and why? I talk about that in episode 1. Episode 2, Aunt Jenny Johnson pays us a visit. Episode 3, I talk about monster comics. The old Draculas and Frankensteins as they made their appearances in mummies and werewolves in the comic book form. Episode 4, my wife and I explore Sloss Furnace, one of the most haunted places on Earth, a place we've been to a couple times. Episode 5, I talk about information and science. Episode 6, Ancient Civilizations, one of my favorite topics and certainly one, as per request of No Friender, we are definitely going to be revisiting. Episode 7 is Music for the Mind. And hey, we've got to revisit our music. Episodes 2, we talk about Pink Floyd, Rush, Grateful Dead, psychedelic music, music aimed at science, Queensrÿche, things like that. That's Music for the Mind, Episode 7, very popular episode. Episode 8, Contrarian Conspiracy. What are people so mad about anyway? Episode 9, Lost History and Structures in Space. Episode 10, The Great Divide. That's a very thought-provoking episode. Episode 11, Tech Talk in Mailbag. Episode 12, my wife again joins us. We talk about abandoned places and her interest in abandoned and dystopian photography. Dragon King Dark, episode 13, was about 1950s comic book series. And I've been reading some more of the 1950s comic series. Very, very macabre stuff. Episode 14, we talk about dreams. One of the most underrepresented, fields of study that's out there, I think. Episode 15 was one we referenced already, old-timey obituaries. It's my favorite one I've done so far. Dragon King Dark 16, we talk about Superman and the Infinite Sadness and the worst comic book movie I think perhaps ever made. Batman, Superman, Dawn of Sadness, Justice, whatever. Episode 17, we talked cryptids and cryptozoology. And, of course, last episode, we talked about Illuminati and grand government conspiracies. I certainly hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope you will continue to check back. We'll be back next week where I will have a singular topic. I have a list already, and it's a list that is growing thanks to your ideas and contributions. And again, please send your letters in. That always is very helpful. And I'm sure if you're thinking it, other listeners are probably thinking about it too. Thank you so much. It is an honor for me to be here doing Dragon King Dark, and it is an honor for me to be on AfterDarkRadioShow.com. And I hope you will continue to follow us and help us grow AfterDarkRadioShow.com. I am Carl Stern. Thanks a lot for listening. See you back here in about a week where we talk things that go bump in the... What is that from Game of Thrones? The night is dark and full of terrors. And I appreciate your listening to Dragon King Dark. Thanks a lot. We'll be back here in about a week.
How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Getting you?
Oh, no. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.